I'm grateful for prayer. For those of you that was here last week, you might know that after all of y'all prayed for me last Sunday, I felt better within 30 minutes, and this, the rest of this week has been an awesome week.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I've done all kinds of things. I feel 100%, praise the Lord. But I had a little attack last week from somewhere. I sure didn't feel good there for a little while. That is the first time in my whole life that I've ever felt so bad in front of a service that I'd stop and kneel down and have somebody come anoint me with oil and pray for me. But I felt that rotten for about 30 minutes last Sunday. But can we all have attacks?
Yeah.
You know, there's only one thing wrong with me. I got a flesh and blood body. That beast can be something else. Isn't that right, Weston? Well, to start off with, I want you to know that Roy Mills back here, he has put us some of these little chick pamphlets out here. And they're real interesting. If you haven't got some of those, they got some really good messages on those things. You know, get those, read those, take some of those if you want to, and pass them out to people. You know, give them to people that you might know. They really got some good little messages on them. And today, I think Weston brought his books. Is that right?
That's right.
He brought some books, and if you want one of his books. Now, this young man up here on the front row and his wife, Fran, a few years ago, he had terminal cancer. Now, he is a ordained Baptist preacher. He is a professor at the University of Texas. He has a PhD, everything, but that didn't make no difference. He was sick. Doesn't matter how much education you got or nothing else, you can get sick, right?
Amen.
And he got sick, and he got sick so bad that when he went to the doctors at MD Anderson told him he had to start chemo or radiation immediately or he would not last long. And he probably wouldn't last long anyway because he had stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in his body, and there was virtually no hope. Well, whenever I get with him and show him from God's word that anytime you have a demonic spirit, which is what cancer is, comes upon your body, you got a sin in your life that's opening the door to bring it in. And I told him, I said, there's two things that I have found that kills men in the church. The number one is a man that says he's a Christian, but he will not put God first. You know, seemed to me like I read somewhere in the scripture where it says you're to have no other gods before me. Is that what that said?
Yeah.
So if we call ourselves Christians and we don't do that, do you think God might discipline us with a little sickness and pain?
Yeah.
He sure will. Most people don't believe that, but he will. And he said, well, Thurman, I have done that. I put God first in everything. I said, well, that's good. I said, the number two thing that causes men to die early is unforgiveness towards someone. He said, uh-oh, we have an issue here. He had a problem with two or three men and for sure his dad. And because his dad had not been a very good man, you know, he beat up on his mother pretty severely. And of course, it's real easy to get an unforgiveness toward a man like that. But he didn't realize it was going to bring a demon upon him. And so it was killing him. His unforgiveness toward his dad, even though his dad was a mean guy, really, as far as I'm concerned, if a man that will beat his wife is a mean guy, you know, I just can't imagine hitting Cheryl. You know, that's beyond my vocabulary to think, or any woman, you know, to hit a woman. Even a man, you know, I don't even hit a man. Somebody'd have to be trying to kill me or my family for me to hurt you, I guarantee. You know, I'm not a violent man at all. Never have had a fight in my life, don't plan to have one. But if you're ever the one that does come and serve me, I want you to know I'm going to win. You know, I am not going to take it laying down. You know, I will retaliate, you know, so I don't plan to be a fighter, but if I ever have to, I just want you to know I plan to win the fight. And so anyway, so that means I ain't going to play fair, if y'all understand that. I plan to win. But anyway, you know, when Weston realized he had to get right with these people, including his dad, and forgive everybody, well, he did all that. And after he met the criteria of the first part about putting God first, because he did that. But the second part, he didn't. He had unforgiveness toward people. Well, once he forgave all those people and we started praying for him, he went down to MD Anderson and they checked him and told him, yes, he had terminal cancer and he had to have radiation or chemo or whatever, or he would die. And he said, well, I'm not going to take anything except Jesus. He said, I've learned the truth now. And we're going to, the reason I'm telling you this is because I'm going to show you in the NLT what God says about trusting him in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. That's where we're going to start. That's the reason I'm going over all this today. We're going to use the NLT in James 1, verses 1 through 8 here in just a minute. But if you got terminal cancer and somebody tells you you need to just trust Jesus now that you've repented of your sins, don't go down and take chemo or radiation. Just trust Jesus alone. Do you know how many people I've met in the church that can do that? There's a few. There's a few, but there's not many. Everybody seems to believe that Jesus needs help. I mean, that's the average person, you know. You find out what we're made out of when we come to a point like this in our life. Especially when the doctors say, if you don't take it, you probably ain't going to last long. So he said, well, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to trust Jesus and Jesus alone. Well, the doctor, of course, knew he was crazy. You know, no doubt in his mind, he knew he was crazy. But he said, well, if you're still alive in 6 months, come back to see me and we'll see you. So in 6 months or whatever it was, he went back down there and they checked him again, and the doctors couldn't believe that this stuff that was all over his body was getting smaller, going away, and he was being healed. Well, a few months later, when he finally goes back a last time, the doctors clearly told him, whatever you're doing, Weston, you better bottle it and sell it, because patent it, because it will sell, because he said there's not a cancer cell in your body and you're completely well from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now there's what happens when a man fulfills what we're going to read in just a minute in James 1 verses 1 through 8. But there's not very many people that can do this. But he did that and he got healed, and you've been healed how many years now, Weston? Five or six?
Seven.
Seven years he's been completely healed of his terminal cancer, which technically speaking, if Weston, although a man of God, he hadn't come in contact with the Word of God as far as healing, he could have, you know, I never thought about this, but Sharon told me this one time. I told Sharon, I said, you know, Sharon, you really ought to be happy that I prayed for you and you got healed. I said, otherwise you could have already been in heaven. She thought about that a minute. She said, you know, I'd have just get up and slap you. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, you know, I never thought that. If you hadn't prayed to me in faith, I'd already been home with Jesus. So I guess there's two ways to look at that, huh? But I told her, I said, now let me tell you something else. If you hadn't met me and I hadn't told you about Jesus' healing power and you hadn't learned how it worked, you hadn't received your healing, I said, yes, you could have died and went to heaven. But I said, when you died and went to heaven, think of all the people you prayed for since then and all the miracles you've seen and all the healings. I said, think of all the rewards you're going to get that you wouldn't have gotten. Is that true? I mean, you got to be alive on this earth to develop your rewards, right? You ain't going to get none for after you get to heaven. It don't take no faith to live in heaven, does it? It takes faith to live here. That's the whole thing. And so today in this scripture, I want to show you that Weston was one of the fortunate ones. He acquired faith from the king and wisdom from the king. Now then, when you get a hold of who you are and what you can do with God, all things are possible. Did you hear that? Now then, if you're teaching with God, all things are possible. And so he stood on God's promises. And then after he prayed, you notice what he did. He got the funny book out or turned the TV on, right?
Oh.
What did he do? When he got healed, nobody have to tell him to get in the Word. He got the Word, right?
Oh,
all of his pain and everything went away. Okay, since we didn't have it last week, I'll let Kim do her testimony again. I love to have these on the tapes. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome for Luis. And I had a similar experience a week and a half ago. We'd been on a job site, and it was getting dark, and I needed to cut around to the other side of the house. Well, I took a shortcut that I should not have taken, and I walked off the sidewalk. Instead of going straight, I went to the left, and I stepped in a big hole, and I heard my foot crack. But I wasn't going to let the enemy win, so I said, I'm not going to say anything. I know it's not broken. So my kids heard me. I was going, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And they're like, what is going on? And so they ran over, and so they prayed for me, and my wonderful husband prayed for me, and he said, now walk off because you know it's not broken. And so I did, and we started cleaning everything. It felt okay. I got in the truck. I started feeling a little bit of something. I said, oh, no, you're not going to get it. So I rebuked the pain. I said, no, I don't have any pain. By the time we got home, it was really kind of hurting. But the interesting thing was there was no swelling, no marks, no nothing on my ankle, but there was a pain. And I went and took a shower, and I tried to lay down, and I could feel the pain, and I just kept reciting scripture in Luke 10, 19, and 20, and Isaiah 54, and all those, and had all these other scriptures. I was going through in my memory all the healing scriptures, and the pain was getting worse. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I've done everything. I've repented of everything I could imagine. But I said, what is this? And he said, you veered to the left. I said, okay, Lord, I repent. I was trying to shortcut. So that's what was going on. And so I repented. But he said, I'm going to heal you by the morning. You won't have any pain. I said, okay, Lord. Yeah, but I need to get to sleep. I can't sleep. And so finally, about 2 in the morning, he put me out. And in the morning, but like Pastor said last week when I kind of told the story, I put my foot down real gingerly, and I shouldn't have done that. But that's okay. He, you know, in spite of my lack of faith, unbelief, I walked off, and it was fine. I'm like, so I worked that whole next day at the same job site. I was climbing up and down ladders all day long, not a stitch of pain. I was totally healed by the next morning, just like he said.
Amen.
So I stood in faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that was the most important part. It felt as though, that's where this pain, when I was talking about it, it kept not going away, and it was feeling like someone literally had knitting needles in my ankle, and I said, Lord, are you knitting me back together? And that's what it was. Actually, that pain was him knitting me back together. So that was the awesome part. Thank you, Rosemary. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, yes. It is amazing when we get a hold of a little faith what we can do in the name of Jesus. Wow. Okay, let's read this scripture. I want to see what wisdom, this is a very important thing. Oh, by the way, I didn't finish either that Weston he's written a book since this last 7 years, and he's got a whole box of them here with him. And he's got those with a CD of the healing scriptures and everything, his whole story about how he got healed. So after church, if you want to get with them and buy one of his books, he sells those, I think, for $20 or something like that, whatever, including the CD. I've had several people call me already that heard me talk about this on the tape about how he got healed, and they want to know how to get healed. You know, this book, I read the book. It's good. He done a good job putting it together. But the thing about it is, you never know the information that you put in something like Weston put in this book and Fran that helped him put it together. If you read that book, it might be the exact thing you need if you got a problem to get you healed. You know, you might not have heard the way I presented it, but you might hear it the way he presents it. And so, you know, it's wonderful to have men and women that get healed and then is willing to sit down and tell their story and write it down, because God wants to heal everybody. You know, but you got to do it his way, not your way. He wants to do it his way. So this wisdom, what we're talking about, that they have, I want to show you in James chapter 1 a little bit about this wisdom. Now, at the very beginning of this, in the NLT, it says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written to Jewish Christians scattered among the nations. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Did you just hear what I said? Why aren't you jumping up and down? Now, so you walk out this morning and you're ready to go to church and you're almost going to be late anyway, and you run outside and you look and your left front tire on your car is flat sitting in the driveway. I know all of you just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is that what you do? Most of you, that's not what you do. Most of you say, oh, shoot, look here, I got a flat. Is that what we do? We don't praise the Lord, do we? You know, if you really want to see God do wonderful things, learn to do what he says. He says, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way. Now, maybe none of y'all ever have trouble. Do you know I had a shot of trouble right here last Sunday? You know that? But I was praising the Lord for that. You know, I mean, I wasn't grumbling or complaining. I was praising the Lord. I didn't know what God was doing there, but I guarantee I knew. In other words, I have not been to a doctor for no reason in 35 years. I virtually had no sickness, very little pain even. I mean, I have walked in obedience to God's word the best I know how, and I've had so little pain, I think I have lost the ability to have compassion for you when you hurt. Do you think that's possible? I think it is. You know, if you ain't had any pain in 30 or 40 years, and all of a sudden somebody else would come and say, well, I need you to pray for me, you know, call on the line and say, this is an emergency, Pastor. You know, I'm hurting so bad. I please need you to call me. And you think, well, I'll call them after a while when I get time. Now then, if you just had a pain like they got, you're going to go to your office and get on the phone, right? And you're going to call them and you're going to pray for them because you think, if they're hurting, I have their answer. I can pray for them in faith as a child of God, and I can get that pain removed from that person. So, you know, we need to realize that. And I really believe that the Lord has done some things with me lately to get me back in the groove to being more for His children. You know, I mean, I have forgotten what it's like. Well, let's think about it like this. I know this is the way it really is. If you're not sick and hadn't had no sickness, and your wife is healthy and she hadn't had no sickness, and your children or grandchildren are all sick and everybody's healthy and ain't no problems, y'all got nice cars and they're all paid for, everybody's well, you got a nice home and it's all paid for, and you got money in the bank, and you ain't got a worry in the world. Somebody said, well, you know, wow, if the economy goes completely flat tomorrow, you know, I only got a week's pay in the bank. And somebody said, well, that's not me. I'm okay. I got $10,000 in the bank. I could make it for several months. I don't have no problem. And every bill I got's paid for. So I'm in no concern. So are you concerned for the other guy? Nah. You know, I'm okay. I don't care about him. Do you know one time I was on an airplane coming out of Chicago, coming back home, and a guy sitting beside me, he was an economics major from the University of Chicago. And he said, what do you do for a living? And I told him I was an engineer and built buildings and all this junk and everything. And he says, have you got a 401k? I said, oh, yeah, sure, yeah. He said, you invest any other way? I said, oh, yeah, I've got a significant amount of money in investments. And I shared with him, you know, some areas that I had money. And I said, yeah, I'm in good shape. I said, you know, I probably got, at that time, I said, in my investments, I probably got $400,000 in my investments that I could draw out tomorrow if I wanted it. So I said, yeah, I'm in good shape. You know, when a man's got $400,000, you know he's in pretty good shape? So I said, you know, I'm not hurting. And he said, well, you're fortunate. He said, you have prepared. He said, do you know the average man? He said, do you know you're in the top 1%? Actually, it's less than 1% of the population of America was in that kind of condition at that time, he told me. He said, the average man, when he gets 65 years old, has got less than 1 week's pay in the bank. And he doesn't have a house paid for and don't have a car paid for. I said, wow. I said, that's crazy. He said, but that's where everybody's living. He said, people don't have money. They don't save money. He said, you give somebody $1,000, they spend $1,050. You know, they don't think about saving. I said, gee, I take my money, I save it, I invest it. I feel like I'm going to live to be an old man. And he said, where'd you learn these principles? I said, out of God's word. God showed me how to do this. Wow. He said, man, you got some really good economic principles. I said, well, hey, God told me to invest. He told me to tithe. He told me to go to church. I said, you know, that's the whole thing. I said, the church, I've been in church all my life. I said, I've been on every committee in the church of all kinds. I've been a member of several different churches, and I've never been in a church that, best of my knowledge, that more than about 1/4 of the people in that church tithe to that church. I said, they just don't tithe. And I said, you know, those people do not know that God says you're stealing from me and you're under a curse. And I said, in fact, he don't just say you're under a curse, you're cursed with a curse. I said, that's the only place in the Bible that I can find where God says he will double whammy you with a curse, and that's if you steal from him. And people said, well, yeah, I don't have to give to God. I said, yeah, that's right. And you, go ahead, don't give and you won't ever have nothing. I mean, you'll be broke all your life. You'll be one of those that winds up at the end of your life with no money, and you'll have less than a week's wages in the bank when the world goes flat, and you're going to be hungry, and you're going to be living under a bridge because you've not done what God says. I said, now, I didn't do that. I did what God said. I tithed. I started tithing as a very young man, probably 25 years old, somewhere when I learned tithing was required. And so I started tithing from right there. And from that day to this, I have tithed, and I have went way beyond a tithe in most of my life. I give many, many things to many, many people. And I am known as a generous man. I give away lots of things. I help lots of people. But what did God tell me to do? That's what He told me to do. So if God tells me to do something, if you want to be blessed, you do it God's way. And God blessed me. Well, whenever 911 come along, when that happened, I had exactly $500,000 in investments in my 401k and my business investments. 911 come along, I'm in good shape. I mean, that's what, 11, 12, 13 years ago, whatever it was. I had $500,000 in the bank. I've been a working man. I got a good job, but it doesn't even pay six figures. I never made six figures in my life. I always less than six. Even when I had to leave the workforce, I was still only making like $75,000 a year. Well, $75,000, it was a lot of money 11, 12, 13 years ago. But for a man to be worth $500,000 and have a farm like this one that's paid for and a house over there paid for and don't owe nobody nothing, my business manager told me, whenever he checked me out one day, he said, Thurman, what you've done is absolutely impossible. I said, what do you mean? He said, nobody can make the kind of money you make and have all the investments that you've got, have as much money in investments as you've got, and have every car he's got paid for, and his home paid for, and money in his banking account. That's impossible on the kind of money you make. Okay, so if that's impossible, who do you think was behind me? God. That's exactly right. And guess what? I was a tither, and where do you think I got this wisdom? From the Lord. Yeah, I prayed and asked God to give me this wisdom, and He did. And of course, whenever 911 came along, I lost about $50,000 in the next 2 months. It is amazing how quick it can go away. So I told my investment manager, I said, sell everything I got. He said, Thurman, this is not the time to sell. I said, yes, sell everything I got. I don't want to keep nothing. So over the next couple of months, he sold everything I had, and I took all that money, and whoa, for the next 2 years, I had to pay whopping income tax. Man, was that awful. You know, that was terrible. To work and make all that money and then give that much to Uncle Sam, oh, whoa, was me. I hated it, but I had to. So I took what I had left, and I bought a piece of land over here and built my son a gym and bought all that equipment and paid cash for everything, and then I gave it to him and his wife as a gift. And then I turned around in this big, beautiful two-story house you see over here when you come up here, which I had built with my own hands and paid cash for it as I went. It took me 5 years to build it. Whenever I gave him the building over there, he's now married, and I knew he's going to have a family, and I was never going to need that big, beautiful 2,000 or 4,000 square foot two-story house over there for me. So I just told him, I said, this is going to be yours too one day. So I said, here, you and your lovely wife, here y'all are. Here's your 4,000 square foot beautiful home. It's all paid for. I don't owe a penny on it. It's y'all's. Now the Lord says, a wise man that does what he says and gets wisdom from God will leave an inheritance to his children's children. Is that what he said? Yes. So if that's the case, then why are most of us ain't got enough money to get home this afternoon? We've not doing what God says. I mean, who's in charge of your money? God is. I mean, if you got any, He give it to you, right, Weston? If you're healed, who healed you?
He did.
I guarantee you. That's right. God's in control of everything. Now then, when you undergo these trials and tests he's talking about here, he said, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. I'm going to tell you, start letting things be an opportunity for joy. When that thing bit you on the leg, what you should have been doing was praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, have power and authority over that thing. But you're not quite there yet. You're just learning, right? So you're learning, but as we learn, when we realize that God's word says, with God, nothing's impossible. Is that right, brother? If nothing's impossible with God, then why do we not pray? Why do we hurt? Why do we go to the doctor? Why do we do all these things and never call on God? It just blows me away. You know, I mean, you noticed last week when I had my encounter, did I ask anybody to call 911?
No.
What did I ask for y'all to do?
Pray.
I called Eldon, was sitting right over in the front. I said, you come over right here and anoint me with oil. And I got down on my knees. Eldon anointed me, and all y'all prayed. Many of you stood up. When I stood up, I saw people standing up in the back with your hands raised and everything else. Y'all were praying for me.
Amen.
Now then, what did God show up?
Yes, he did.
Within a matter of a few minutes, I was feeling like a new man. I felt like a new man all this week. You know, that's the way the church has got to learn how to do it.
Right.
You know, we're going to have to get away from this nonsense whenever we hurt ourselves or sprain our ankle or anything else that, oh, honey, you got to take me down to the hospital. No, that's not where we need to go. We need to go to Jesus. But this wisdom, look at this wisdom. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. He says, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Do you want to grow?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. Be careful. When you ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want to grow. Be careful. You may get some chances and opportunities before you get home. And remember, no grumbling and complaining. You know, you got to worship and praise the King. It says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Would you like to get to the point where God could use you for anything? Wouldn't you like it that if you're in a place of business, or if, say, a tornado was coming across there, and you knew that you have power and authority over the elements, the kingdom has been given to us. We studied about that several Sundays ago, 2 or 3 Sundays in a row. We talked about the kingdom and how the kingdom belongs to us, and all power and authority of the kingdom belongs to us. Just like when Jesus said, did Jesus control the wind?
Yes.
Did he control the rain?
Yes.
Did he control the fish in the water?
Yes.
Did he speak to the storms and they went away?
Yes.
Okay, and if Jesus did all of those things, and just like Jeff said today, he goes walking across the lake. He didn't have a boat, did he? He was walking across the lake, and Jesus said clearly, I tell you the truth, anyone that believes in me, does that cover you?
Yes.
He says, not only shall you do what I have been doing, greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. Isn't that something? So if we can do that, in fact, let me show you that scripture. Look, we're going to come back here to the scripture in James 1 and verse 4. But let's go to John 14, 12. I want you to see that yourself. John 14, 12. I want you to see that awesome promise. The truth is, anyone who believes in me. Now then, who does that include? Is that the church? That's us. That's the whole church. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. So if you're out there and you see a tornado coming towards your house, what should you be able to do to that?
Take authority
over it and command it to go around, right? Or over or something. I mean,
shut it down.
Now, you know, that's something you might not be able to do. Yeah, okay. Well, sometimes you can. Sometimes you can shut it down, but sometimes God is judging the area. And if you're obedient, he will honor your request for it not to do any damage to you. But he might. And in fact, one day I rebuked one that was coming right across here, and it was beginning to pull the doors on my shop. And I rebuked it, and it only bent the door latches on the inside where they fastened on my big barn doors out there. They're 15 feet tall and about 7 foot wide, two of them. But it bent the deals on the top, but that's all it did to me. But it moved over and went right on down, and right down there my neighbor had built him a 4-car garage and had 4 cars inside that garage, and it blew that place all to pieces. I mean, it fell in on top of his cars and all kinds of stuff. Somebody said, well, do you think God was judging him? Well, I don't have any other thing to say, but yes. Why would it hit you? it can't do that if you are walking in obedience to God's word. Is that right?
Yes.
That's what God says, especially if you know your authority and you speak to it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. When you speak to it, you got to remember that you have been given the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to the children of God. And we supposedly have great power on this earth. And if we believe it, we can pray for ourselves and we can get healed. Is that right?
Amen.
Yes, we can. We can pray. We can pray and get somebody else to pray with us and get healed, right? That's why I had all y'all praying for me last Sunday right here. You know, but you notice the one thing I did not do. The thought never even entered my mind to dial 911. In fact, that night, just a few weeks ago, when Cheryl fell down over here in the hallway, some of you know about this, but I mean, we had come in, it was Christmas Eve or something like that. And so we come in, Cheryl had a piece of a cake left, so she come in here and took it in here, put it in here in the kitchen and all that stuff. And of course, you know, there's very few lights in here usually, especially at night. So she come back out, there's plenty to see, but not, you know, not to do a whole lot. So she come back out, went through the door, headed back to the bedroom. As she goes around the corner in the minister room there, she hangs her foot on one of the mail buckets. And when she hangs her foot, she trips. She goes down and hits her right knee on the concrete floor. And then she hits her head solid on the concrete floor. And then she jams her hand into the wall. You think, my goodness, what did she do wrong? Well, she did something wrong, I'll tell you for sure. And she knows exactly what she did wrong. I won't give y'all her dirty laundry list, but I'll let her tell you herself one day if she wants you to know what she did wrong. But she knew what she done wrong. And she fell down and she hurt herself. And of course, I had already gone to the bedroom. And so I heard this little, my phone ring, and I saw it was Cheryl's number. And I thought, what's Cheryl calling me for? I picked it up. I said, yes, honey. She said, I'm hurt. That's all I could get. Boy, when she said, I'm hurt, I just threw my phone down. I just run out of the bedroom, run down the hallway, come into the media room right there and almost run over in the dark. She was laying on the floor. And I said, I turned the light on right quick and I said, what in the world? I looked and big old knot on her forehead right here, you know, and she's black and blue and all kinds of things are happening. And she said, oh, I fell down here on the concrete. So I laid one hand here and one hand down here on the leg before she'd get hurt. I'm spread over just like that. And I began to rebuke that pain. I said, there will be no, what do you call this? Bruises. Yeah, there ain't gonna be no bruises or nothing. In the name of Jesus, I said, I take authority over all this in the name of Jesus. And I prayed, and when I got through praying, I said, okay, woman, it's done. Get up. And she said, honey, I can't get up. And I said, get up. And I reached over and grabbed her by the arm and got her. I said, get up, woman, show some faith. Now then, aren't y'all glad you're not married to me? She gets up and I put her under my arm and we start toward the bedroom and she's, honey, it's feeling better all the time. I said, I know it, but you got to show some faith. You can't lay on that floor and expect God to do anything. You got to demonstrate your faith. And so we get back to the bedroom and she's just doing great. And she goes in and gets ready. I go ahead and get ready. I jump into bed and I'm laying there in the bed in a few minutes. I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. She comes and she crawls in beside me. She snuggles right up against me and she said, I sure am glad I'm married to a man of faith. But you know, when I slapped her on the backside and grabbed her by the hand and told her, get up, she wasn't too sure she was glad she was married to me. But see, that's demonstrating your faith. Is that right? And God says you've got to do something. You've got to demonstrate your faith. So anyway, now then, what did Jesus say we could do right here? Did Jesus do all kinds of wonderful things?
Yes.
Did he heal the sick?
Yes.
Cleanse the lepers?
Yes.
Raise the dead?
Yes.
Control the storms?
Yes.
We ought to be able to do the same thing if we have faith.
Amen.
But some of us don't have much faith. Sometimes I wonder if I have any faith. But then, oh, praise God. I got to tell you this story right here. A couple Saturdays ago, we had a healing school. And we had several lines. Jeff and everybody was here. I think Rosemary, I think you were here. You wasn't here? Oh, you weren't there, but Sharon. Okay, anyway, we had several healing lines, and we prayed for people for hours. In mine and Cheryl's line, the last lady that came down, she come down and she was kind of holding her right arm down, and I said, ma'am, what can I pray for you for? She says, I have a tumor in my shoulder, and I have a disconnected rotator cuff. Yeah, torn rotator cuff. And then she took her left finger and she leaned over right in my face and she said, "And I know when you pray for me in the name of Jesus, he's going to heal me."
Amen.
And I thought, does this woman have faith? And she said, "We're from Amarillo. I'm 83 years old. I had my daughter drive me down here. And I know," she said, "I've been listening to your tapes a long time. And I know you teach the truth. So," said, "I know when you pray for me, Jesus is going to heal my arm." Immediately, I thought of the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. And she'd been to all the physicians and she grew worse and broke. Isn't that the way it works?
Yes.
And she hadn't got healed. But she came to Jesus, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed." I thought, wow. So I reached up and laid my hand on her shoulder. And when I laid my, because I'm standing face to face with her, so I laid my left hand upon her right shoulder. I said, "In the name of Jesus." And the tumor just disappeared under my hand. I say, wow. Mary, what a God we serve, girl. Isn't he awesome? I mean, he's awesome. And then immediately, that's all I did. I didn't say nothing else. Her right arm come up like this all the way up. And her daughter said, "Mama, you can't do that." She said, "I told you if you'd take me down here and let him pray for me, Jesus would heal me." So that was on Saturday. Well, the following Friday, we got a beautiful, either that or maybe a week and a half later, we got a beautiful letter from Grandma. And she said, "I am completely healed." She said, "Thurman, I want you to know I love you forever." She said, "Whatever you do, don't quit doing what you do." She said, "What a blessing you are to the body of Christ." I think, wow, when I get letters like that, do you want to know why I do what I do? That little 83-year-old lady got healed just by faith. Isn't that something? Isn't God awesome? He's awesome. Okay, now let's go back to where we were there in James. Yeah. So let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be a strong in character and ready for anything. I want to be ready for anything for Jesus. Don't you?
Amen.
Yes, I absolutely do. Now let's go to verse 5 and 6. So if you need wisdom, who is it you know that don't need wisdom? Do you know anybody that don't need no wisdom? Okay, so if you need wisdom, let's see what he says. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. Wow, what a hard thing. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And I stand in awe at the people in church like I was most of my life that whenever, in fact, I stand in awe my own self with my own children. Here I'm a deacon in a Baptist church, a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church, with a pastor standing at the pulpit that's got a PhD from seminary, and I don't have a clue about nothing that pertains to the power of God. So when my children get sick, guess what we did? We took them to the doctor. Yeah, and I'm still paying the consequence with one of my son's ears. He got a little problem, and we took him to the doctor, and the doctor said he needs to have tubes put in his ears. Okay, I mean, he's the doctor. You know, nobody had ever told me to pray. I never even dreamed about praying for my son. I didn't know healing was available. I mean, if you've never seen a healing, never seen a miracle, what do you expect? So I took him to the doctor and they put tubes in his ears. One of the surgeries went bad. And one of the tubes that they ruined his little eardrum. And to this day, Tim, my son, which is about 38 years old, still has terrible time hearing on that side. So, you know, if you start to say something to me, you hear him turn around like this, you'll know what he's doing that for because he can't hear out of that ear. The other one, you know, so, I mean, I felt like a stupid father. And I was. I was an ignorant father. I didn't know that I could repent of sin and pray the prayer of faith for him and God would heal him. Isn't that amazing? But Jesus told me this all over the Word, but I didn't believe it. So I didn't have the wisdom I needed. I never dreamed about going to God. He says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. Isn't that so simple? Do you think God really loves us? He really loves us. If he really loves us, then why in the world when we have a problem, don't we go to him and ask him, what is the issue here? What's the problem? You know, Lord, if I've done something, you know, I mean, did anybody remember anything I said while I was here on my knees last week? Did you hear me say anything? Did you hear me say, Lord, if I've done anything wrong, I repent? Did you notice that? Isn't that amazing? You know, because I know if there's something wrong with us, there's something wrong. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. Now then, when I ask people, have you asked God about this? Well, yes, I asked him. Well, did he answer? Well, no. Well, why do you think he didn't? Well, you know, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes maybe he says later. I said, can you give me a scripture that says that's true? And they cannot. See, all of God's promises are yes and amen when you come to him in faith. When you ask him for something, you got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Look what this says. He says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. But whenever you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now then, I remember this young man, 55 years old, had brain tumors. And when I saw him in a hospital, he looked like he was 90. Oh, he looked old and wore out. Wow, he looked awful. 55 years old. I asked the doctor, I said, doctor, what is wrong? He was a good friend of mine. I said, doctor, what's the diagnosis? He says, you got brain tumors. And he says, we're going to send him to San Antonio next week and to a specialist, and they're going to cut the top of his head off and see how many of those they can get out. Don't that sound fun? Oh, you don't even like that, Rosemary? Cut the top of your head off and take the brain tumors out? Oh, I thought everybody ought to have that done at least once a month. Well, they sent him, and they cut the top of his head off. And when they cut it off, they took the top off where they could get in there, and there was humongous tumors in there. His whole head was full of them. Well, the doctor took some of the big ones out, and he just put him back together and sewed him back up and said, except God intervene, this man's going to die. Well, now here's what that doctor didn't know. God had already intervened. That's why he had the brain tumors. Now then, I'm going to tell you that I went after they sent him back home to die. I went down. I took a day off. I went down to his home. I sat there with him all day long. First, when I walked in, I saw this a very nice looking lady, attractive lady. I said, and who are you? She said, I'm his wife. I said, oh, I said, I knew his first two wives. I knew he had two others. I said, are you number three? She said, yes, I'm number three. I said, have you ever been married before? She says, no. I said, okay, so you've not been married. He's been married three times. I said, where do you go to church? Oh, she said, the First Baptist Church over in a little town. And I said, oh, I said, how many times y'all been? Oh, five or six. I said, five or six? I said, I can't believe y'all have only been to church five or six times this year. Oh, she said, Thurman, we've been married 10 years. We've only been to church five or six times in the 10 years we've been married.
Oh, no.
Now, I realize in the Word, God says you don't have to go to church, right? Did he say you don't have to go to church? No, quite the contrary. He said, go to church. Did he not?
Amen.
That's exactly what he said. You know, anybody have any idea where that scripture is found? Hebrews 10:25. You know, forsake not the gathering of yourself together on a regular basis, as the manner of some are, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Do you see the day of the Lord approaching? I mean, he's at the door, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it's right at the door. But the Lord tells us to go to church, and then we don't go. Or we go five or six times in 10 years. And so I told her, I said, ma'am, the Word of God says you're supposed to go to church. And she said, well, I don't believe that. You know, I think that you can worship God at home. You don't have to go. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of people have a whole lot of ideas of what they think the Word of God says, but they're just out of their own head. It's not scriptural. And so whenever God tells you to go to church and you say you don't have to go to church, guess which one of y'all are wrong?
God.
Oh, not God. Okay. So it must be you, huh? So anyway, I prayed for him for hours. I anointed him with oil. I did everything I knew to do for hours. And then I went home. I prayed for him and anointed him with oil. I went home. And that was on Monday. And on Thursday, he passed away. Well, when they called me and said he died and they're going to have his funeral on Sunday, I said, okay, I'm going to come back to his funeral. So I went down there and watched him lay this 55-year-old man. He was exactly the same age I was. So that's nearly 20 years ago when this happened. He and I were really good friends in high school. We were the same age and everything. I watched him put his casket in the ground at 55. And then I left going home. I was by myself. And on the way home, I'm saying, Lord, I've got to have wisdom here. I've got to understand why this man died. Did the Lord say, ask him?
Yes.
He said he would answer me?
Yes.
Okay, so if I ask and I don't get an answer, what do I do? Quit asking?
No.
No, absolutely not. I'd be very persistent. Like the little woman, you know, that went to the judge and says, I want you to judge my case. And he said, woman, I ain't going to do it. And so she wore him out with her. Is that what his scripture said, Jack? She would not give up. So that judge finally said, I don't fear man or God, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice. Well, if God put that in his word, do you think he's trying to tell us something? I believe he's trying to tell us something. So whether we be woman or man, he's saying, don't give up. Continue to ask until you get your answer. And so I did. So for 3.5 hours driving down the road from where that funeral was back here, I am asking him to tell me what was this man's problem. Why did he die? Why did you not heal him, Lord? I want to know, did I do something wrong? Did I have a sin in my life? You know, what did I do wrong? Because, you know, you could do something wrong too. If you're the healing minister and you got a sin in your life, God ain't going to hear your prayer either until you repent of that sin. You know that? And he knows everything you do, and he knows everything about you. And so I continued to stay on his doorstep. I said, Lord, I got to know why this man died. I said, Lord, I do not want to make this mistake again. I've got to know what caused him to die. After I prayed and anointed him with oil, did everything you told me to do, and he died, I got to know whose fault it was, what caused it. And every time I'd ask him, I said, Lord, thank you for the answer. Well, all of a sudden, just before I got home, the Lord said, son, you didn't do anything wrong. He said, the problem was his. And he said, you'll find the answer to his problem in John 15:2. Well, at that time, I didn't know what John 15:2 said. So I had to stop and open my Bible. Now I know what it says. Look and see what John 15:2. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. Wow. Are you and me branches? We are branches. And if we're branches of the kingdom and we don't produce fruit, what happens? What did he say he does to us?
Cuts you off.
Oh my gosh, you know, God would never kill you. You know, he's a loving, sweet God. He would never. We've got to be misunderstanding that. Is that what he said, Kim?
Yes, sir.
You think he would really do that?
Yes,
to his sweet little daughter?
Yes.
That if she stopped producing fruit for the kingdom for 10 years and don't do nothing, she might get cut off?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's kind of scary. You know that? When I read that, I thought, God, you killed him. Is that what that said?
Yes.
You know, nobody believes that. I mean, the church don't believe that. But God said it. Did he not?
Yes, he did.
I said, Lord, I said, you killed him. When I read that, he said, yes, son. He said, I give him 10 years to start producing fruit again. I said, Lord, he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a youth leader. He was a great man of God. He said, oh, yeah. But he said, the last 10 years, he's produced no fruit. So he said, I don't need him. If he's not going to produce fruit, I cut his tree down. You know, I don't need him. I said, Lord, it wasn't his fault. It was that woman. It's always the woman's fault, right? You better be careful there. She's sitting close to you. I mean, you know, and of course, you know what the Lord told me? He said, son, I didn't put the woman in charge of the home. I put the man in charge of the home, and he did not do what I told him to do. So he's the one that got cut off. That's scary. And you know, everything he told me is scriptural. I mean, I can prove everything I just said from the Word of God. I mean, it's absolutely, the man is the head of the house. He is the spiritual being. And God holds us as men accountable to love our wives, take care of our children, and do all those things. And if we don't do that, it's going to bring devastation into our families and sickness and disease to us. And that's why so many men. And in fact, God even goes a little further. He says, if you don't love your wife like I love the church, I won't answer your prayer. Isn't that something? You better love that girl like I love the church. If you don't, he said, you can pray all you want to. I ain't going to hear your prayer. I ain't going to answer it. Why do you think so many men in church don't get their prayers answered? They don't love their wife like Christ loved the church. That's exactly right. But he cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. Okay, let's go back over there to verse 5. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. Now, I stayed with it when I asked God for wisdom in this case about why this man died. If I had been like I used to be, a normal Christian, I would have asked one time, and when he didn't talk to me, I would have quit asking. But now I know God wants to talk to me. I don't know why it takes longer to get through on some things than it does other things, but I know he wants to answer my question. I know he really loves me, and he wants to answer my question. And I may not understand at this time what's going on, but I did know he said, ask and believe you have received. And so every time I asked and praised him and thanked him for the answer, I would wait a few minutes, and if I didn't hear anything, I'd start knocking again. You know, I thought, well, he might not have heard me that time. He might have been busy with somebody else. So I'm going to knock again. I'm going to ask again. But let me tell you, God ain't never busy with somebody else. You know, that's amazing how he can be just like you're the only human being on the earth all the time. I don't understand that about God, but he says he can do that. And I know he can do that. I know he's everywhere. He knows everything that's going on. And so, but when you ask, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 and 8. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. That's like me. I don't care what happens to me. When I tore my hand up here last year, some of you know about that, some of you don't. My hand was tore all to pieces. It probably needed a minimum of 200 stitches in my hand. I got it hung up in a rolling door spring. It tore my hand all to pieces. What do you think I immediately did? Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. I praised the Lord and thank you. I said, Lord, I don't know what I did that causes this, but I praise you and thank you for one more opportunity to prove that you're the King. I said, now, Lord, thank you that you bore my pain so I don't have to bear no pain. And the pain just went away just like that. No pain. So I wrapped it up in a rag, come over here, and Cheryl showed it to her. And when she undone it, she looked and said, wow, did you tear up your hand? And I said, well, put some stuff on it and wash it out and clean it up, put some Band-Aids on it, and I'm going back to work on them doors. And so that's what we did. No stitches, no nothing. She bandaged all my hand, all my fingers, put it together, and every night. And in 1 week, these bottom three fingers were completely healed, and in about two and a half weeks, the top finger was completely healed, and you can virtually not even tell where I tore that hand all to pieces. Just think, right here to the end, it tore all the meat off that plum to the bone, and tore all them fingers up. I mean, just tore them all to pieces.
That little scar right there.
Yeah, that little scar right there was there from 30 years ago. That was an old one. That's been, I didn't have no faith. In fact, 40 years ago, I was working on a 1959 Chevrolet Impala, and a Chevrolet dealership, and that little scar. And I drilled out the hole, and a little burr stuck up there, and I went to rake off the loose stuff, and I hung it on that burr, and it ripped it from right there to right there. And guess what? I ran to the doctor, and the doctor put 6 stitches in it, and today I still got a scar on that one. And that's the only scar you could find on my head.
That's before you knew how to pray right.
I didn't have a clue. When I was 19 years old, I didn't have a clue how to pray. Although I'd been in church all my life, didn't know nothing. But when I tore this hand all to pieces, I knew how to pray. I had learned how to pray and how to stand on God's promises. And when you look at my hand, I mean, really, let you look since you, from right here down to right there, and right there and right there, it laid all of that meat plumb to the bone down, hanging down like that. Every bit of it.
My wife would have made me go to the doctor.
My wife wouldn't have made me. My wife, she's a faith woman. She just bandaged my... Look how good a job he did on that.
I see that.
Didn't he do good work? Now this is when you find out what you're made out of. You know, this just really finds out what you're made out of. Are you a man of faith or a woman of faith? Are you, I hate to say this, are you a wimp? I'll tell you, I used to be a wimp. I was a wimp most of my life. But praise God, just like the other night, I will have to say that whenever I give Cheryl that little spanking on her backside and told her to get up, I grabbed her and I said, get up, woman, get up. I mean, I told her after I got her back to the bedroom and after she's good and, you know, she's running around there feeling good. And, of course, the next day she already had a bruise on her head, or swelling went down. And she I don't think she'd had a bruise on her leg at all. Had a little bitty bruise on her eye there, but not much. But the swelling went down almost instantly. And I thought to myself, how many 73 or 4-year-old men with a 65-year-old wife that she fell like that and busted herself up like that, how many of them would not know how to do anything except call 911? Is that most of us? But see, we, those of us in this room, we're supposed to be beyond that. We're supposed to be children of the kingdom. God clearly said we can do the same things He did when He was here. Did He not say that? If Jesus said we can do the same things He did, then why don't we learn to pray in faith? Weston, we need to learn, don't we? What is wrong with us? I mean, is what I'm telling you today written in God's Word?
Yes.
Yeah, it's written in God's Word. So He says there, they can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. Now, if you're wavering, you know, and here's what most, now this man here is unique. He's really unique. You know, when most people come up and they repent of their sins and are prayed for, they're like Ida. Now, I'm going to give you the story of Ida. Ida still comes and volunteers and helps us once in a while. Sometimes a day or two a week, or when we do the tape of the month. She's just a lovely lady. But her and her husband, Ferris, they're a lovely couple, but they never heard this kind of teaching. They go to a normal, traditional church that don't teach healing. So when Ida was diagnosed with breast cancer, wow, if there was ever a time you start looking for a healing ministry, it's when you got breast cancer. So she'd heard about us, so they wanted us to pray for her, so they came to see us. And I told her, I said, which breast is in? She said, the left. I said, okay, you have unforgiveness toward a female member of your family. And she did. Isn't that amazing how we've learned these things? She had unforgiveness toward a female in her family. I think it was her sister. Okay, her sister. She had unforgiveness toward her sister, and it had brought breast cancer upon her left breast. So I told her, I said, you forgive your sister, get back in a love walk with her. I will break the curse over you, kick this thing out, and Jesus will heal you. I guarantee it. Now, when I do something, do I have to do it in faith?
Yes.
Okay, so if I say I'm going to pray for you and we hope He's going to do this?
No.
There's no faith in that?
No.
Oh, okay. So that don't work, does it? That don't work at all. So, well, if I have to believe with no doubt in my heart, it only leaves me one alternative when I pray for you, and that's guarantee you're healed, right?
Right.
So if I guarantee you're healed, then I've done my part, right?
Right.
I mean, I got to pray in faith. Well, with Ida, her and her husband, when they come out, and I told them, I said, okay, there's your problem. Repent, forgive your sister, and then we'll pray for you. We'll break the curse. We'll kick out the demon. And I said, then we'll pray with you in an agreement, and you're healed. And I said, okay, it's done. Now you don't need to go to the doctor no more. We had done exactly what God's Word said do. He says, are you trying to tell me that she's healed? I said, well, sir, I'm telling you what God says. In other words, let me show you one of those scriptures. Let me take you to James 5, 14, 15, and 16. And let me show you at James 5 what God says. And this just goes to show that we do not believe these promises of God. Now, look at this. James 5, it says, are any among you sick? Okay, now who does that include in the church? Is that all of us? Well, I think so. That's the way I interpret that anyway. Are any among you sick? It don't take a rocket science just to figure out that's all of us. They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, to me, I mean, I'm an elder in the church. Some of you are old enough to be elders in the church. And anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith doesn't sound too complex, does it, Scott? That doesn't seem hard at all, huh? Well, Jesus didn't make our part very hard. And He says, and their prayer offered in, not unbelief. their prayer offered in faith. So when you pray for somebody, this is the attitude you need to get into. I prayed for you. I guarantee your answer is there. Is that faith?
Yes.
At least from your point of view, you've done your part, right? Now, if that other person still got a sin in their life, they're not willing to repent, that's their problem. But don't let us have a compound problem here with two of us in unbelief. You got a sin in your life? She had a sin in her life, but she repented. I prayed for her in faith. Now, what does it say? Let's go on and read. And their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Did it say maybe?
No.
It says it will. And the Lord will make them well. And anyone who has committed sins, they will be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I love that promise. That come from God, didn't it, Weston? That's right straight out of the book. That's a guarantee from God to heal us if we pray in faith, right?
Amen.
If we repent of our sins and everything. So anyway, I said, the word says it's done. And he said, Thurman, we've been in church all of our life. I have never heard anything like this. I have her scheduled for surgery on Thursday, so I'm going to take her and have the surgery done. Well, now, who's the head of the house?
He is.
He is. Yeah, that's it. He is. And of course, I can understand his logic when he said, I love this woman with all my heart. She's my wife, and I'm not going to lose her, so I'm going to take her and have the surgery done. So I said, well, I can't override you. You're the spiritual head of the house. So they take her to the doctor. They cut into her left breast. And when they cut into it, they realize that those knots and everything that were in there, when they get her cut open, ain't there. She's healed. So they do some biopsies of the tissues that they already got her cut open. They do some biopsies and come back and say, we don't understand, but there's no cancer. We checked it a couple of weeks ago. It's there, but now it ain't there. So something happened. It went away. Why do you think it went away? Who prayed? We did. That's right. We prayed the prayer of faith for that woman, and God honored our prayer of faith, didn't he? And he took away the tumors and he healed her. Now then, they sew her back up, and a couple weeks later, they're out here sitting right there, and they're both crying, and I noticed both of them crying, so I walk over right here, and I said, what's wrong with you two? And she says, Thurman, and Ferris, he said, Thurman, we are so sorry that we didn't believe the promises of God. He said, I had never seen anything like this in my life. I never heard any teaching like this, but I saw it was in the book, but I couldn't believe it because I'd never seen it done before. So he said, I took my wife down. They cut her open and found out that she was healed. There was no cancer, no tumors, no nothing. She's completely healed. And so said they sewed her back up. And now then that they've sewed her up, it's drew on all the tissue so she can't raise her arm but about this high. It won't go no further because it stretches the skin and it hurts. And I said, you know, I believe that God fully understands y'all's situation. I said, he understands where you were coming from. I said, both of you are sitting here crying. You're both of you got tears of repentance, telling the Lord how sorry you are that you didn't believe him. I said, so now then I'm going to pray for you in faith, and I'm going to guarantee he's going to heal that arm right now in the name of Jesus. I just reached over and laid my hand on that shoulder, that left shoulder. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, fix her breast and let the tissue be normal and let her be able to raise her arm straight up in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. You was here, wasn't you, Rosemary? I said, now raise your arm up. He said, right now? I said, yes, right now. I mean, show some faith. Do something, woman. And so she starts up gently, and the arm just went whoosh, right all over, straight on up just like that. And everybody was here, went to jumping up and down and praising God. She was completely healed. Now, Ida still comes and works for us, you know, on a regular basis. She'll come out and spend a day or two or whatever. And she learned a great lesson there because after she got healed of the breast cancer, she's healed. Well, it wasn't but a few months after that, one day she come in and I said, wow, what's wrong with you? She said, I'm down in my back. And she said, I want you to pray for me. So I said, okay. I prayed for her. We repented of all sins, remitted sins and everything else. And I said, now then, how do you feel? She said, it don't feel no better. And so later on in the day, she's getting ready to go home. I said, how's your back? She said, it don't feel no better, but I'm healed. I said, you really believe it? She said, Thurman, I saw God heal my breast instantly. I know he can do it instantly, but there's some reason he's not doing it instantly. And I don't know what it is, but she said, I'm standing on his word till I get my healing. Well, two or three weeks, She came out here one or two days a week for two or three weeks, and every time she'd say, I'm healed, but I can't hardly walk, but I'm healed. She's praising the Lord. And after about, I don't know, a few weeks, whatever it was, she come bouncing in here one day. I said, uh-oh, it happened this week, didn't it? She said, yes, it happened this week. I have no pain in my back. And she's never had pain to this day. But guess what? By healing her instantly and then healing her over a little bit of time, Ida knows God heals. And he knows he heals every time. And so she's seeking that wisdom, just like we are. It says there, any among you sick, they should call for the elders of the church, have them pray over them, anointing them all in the name of the Lord, and their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Just think, ladies and gentlemen, if that was the only healing verse we had in the whole Bible, who should be able to get healed from that, friend? Every one of us, right? All we got to do is believe and have somebody pray for us in faith. Now then, if you ever do that somewhere and they say, now, Lord, we're going to use this verse in James 5, 14, 15, and 16. And if it be your will,
don't do it.
You might as well just go to house, right? Did God say we had to believe him? Why do you think God is that hard on us? Why don't God have a little compassion for us? I'll tell you why. Because we don't realize who we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a man. We're dealing with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. Is that right, brother? Yes. He is God. And whenever he'd put a scripture like Ephesians 3:20. Anybody know what Ephesians 3:20 says? Let's see what it says. Now, glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or even hope. Now, what can God do? He can do anything. Praise the Lord. The thing about it is, all we got to do is believe. Is that right?
Yes, right.
Now then, if any of us lacks wisdom, where are we going to get this kind of wisdom?
God.
We're going to get it from God. That's exactly right. We're going to get it from God. And when you go to God and you say, Lord, I need wisdom how to deal with this cancer situation. Now, Lord, I realize it may not be your will to tell me. If that kind of words comes out of your mouth, guess what you're going to get from God? Nothing. I mean, he loves us. He wants to do good things for us, but he expects us as his children to do everything we do in faith. That's what the kingdom's ruled by, faith. We have the law of faith. We must believe faith. When we stand on, when we take his word and believe him, man, he heals your leg right now, doesn't he, brother? Isn't that awesome? I mean, just think what God says. I mean, that's just like Mike back there, Mike and Gracie. When they first started coming here, they'd never heard this kind of teaching either. But they'd been in church all their life, you know. And, of course, Mike, I'd get tickled at him, you know, when they was redoing their house and they was over there and he was doing the bathroom and right on texturing it or whatever he was doing. And Gracie was in there helping him and everything. And all of a sudden, Mike come down with a back. His back was hurting him. And finally, he got hurting so bad, he told her, I'm through. I can't go no more. And then she made a statement. She said, Mike, you know that Thurman said, God's word says, if two of us on earth agree about anything, it's done. Did Thurman say that? Yes, he did. Where'd Thurman get it?
In the word.
In the word. And what verse did Thurman get that from?
Matthew 18:19.
So if Matthew 18:19 says, I tell you the truth, if two of you on earth agree about what?
Anything
that you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So why don't we get to where we can use those? So anyway, Mike and Gracie, she prayed for her husband. And the minute she prayed and thanked God, Mike's pain in his back went away. And Mike ain't never had a back pain since. Isn't that something? So guess what that done for Mike? That taught Mike how to pray for others. Is that right, Mike? Amen. I want you to realize that God is a God of love, but he's also a God of faith. And if you come to him in faith, once you've repented of your sins, he will answer you, he will heal you, he will meet your needs, he will do anything you ask him to do as long as you really believe. I think about this lovely lady sitting over there. Dee Dee's getting better every time I see her. Last week when I saw her, she had gained 14 pounds, you know. And she was terminal, technically speaking, just a few months ago. This girl was on her way out. And now then she's on her way back in. It's been a hard, it's hard for people to believe God, isn't it? You know how difficult it is? If you were the wife and you'd fell in the floor and you'd hurt your knee and you'd hurt your face and your hands and everything else, you'd jam them and all those things, and you had a man, your husband, that come by and grabbed you and prayed over you, now told you, demanded that you get up and do something in the name of Jesus, some of you would tell him he's crazy. But he's not crazy. He understands faith, at least a little bit. You know, we should be learning how to walk in faith. And that's why people that receive awesome healings or miracles or answers to prayer or whatever, they need to not be hesitant to tell the other people what God did for them. They need to know that God, he doesn't just heal Western Blair, does he? He'll heal anybody that comes to him and repents of sin and believes him. Right, Weston? That's just like whenever I prayed for Stan the other day, the senior pastor of the Prophecy Club Church. He separated both rotor cuffs. Do y'all know him? Y'all know Stan Johnson? But anyway, he's a senior pastor of the Prophecy Club, and he's been in prophecy all his life. Now, he's had 3 or 4 healing ministers in his church in the last 20 years, and they've never seen a healing. So he has about 0 faith in healing ministers. You can understand, right? Well, the other day, God was going to change him. So the Lord told him to do something, and he didn't do it. And so he fell playing racquetball and caught himself with his hands and separated both of his rotator cuffs. Now then, guess what the first thing he did? Went to the doctor, absolutely did. He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him he had to have surgery on both arms. No way he could be fixed outside of surgery on both arms. He walked out of that doctor's office saying, Lord, I will never let them cut on me. I will not have surgery. So he preached the next Sunday in his church, and he couldn't raise his hands any higher than about this high. It just killed him. His both arms were hurting like crazy. So as he walked out of the church Sunday morning, he walked out on the way out to his car. He said, Lord, I will do anything you tell me to do to get healed. And he got out there, and there's a 3x5 card under his windshield said, call Thurman Scrivener. Here's the phone number. So he called me on Monday and told me what he did. And I said, okay. I said, well, do you know you committed a sin? He said, oh, yeah, I know what I did wrong. He said, the Lord told me to do something. I didn't do it. But he said, I have repented. And he said, the pain got a little better after I repented. I said, well, you repent of that sin to me too. The Lord says in his word, confess your sins one to another and you will be healed. I said, so you confess your sin to me, and then you've already confessed it to the Lord. I said, then I'll pray for you. And I said, when I pray, you got to remember, you're a senior pastor of a church. I'm a senior pastor of a church. God is going to expect some faith out of both of us. Do y'all understand that? We're supposed to be grown up boys. We ain't supposed to be playing games now. So I said, I'm going to pray for you in faith, and I'm going to guarantee you, since you confess your sin, I'm going to guarantee you, when I pray for you, Jesus is going to heal you. Does that sound like faith? And I prayed for him, and guess what God did? Instantly healed him. And so now then he's completely well. And he called me the other day and said, you got to come over to my church. He lives over in Allen. He said, you got to come over to my church and do a healing school at my church on a Friday and a Saturday. I said, okay, I'll come do that. He said, Thurman, does everybody you pray for get healed? I said, yes and no. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, that everybody that repents of their sin and everybody that believes with no doubt in their heart, when they're prayed for, they get healed. Amen. I said, but if they have a sin that they're not willing to get rid of, or if they have not have enough word in them to have faith to believe, there's that doubt. I said, if there's any doubt at all, or any kind of sin left at all, I said, then I can pray all I want to, and it will not heal them. I said, they have to get rid of the sin, and they have to get rid of the unbelief, and they have to come to God in faith. I said, so everybody that believes like that gets healed. Everybody that does not believe does not get healed. That's the way it works, isn't it? As we teach these principles here, that's why we see so many people get healed. And just like I say, with Weston, I mean, he believed. You know how difficult it is to tell a doctor that the doctor's sitting there telling you, you've got terminal cancer stage 4 just before death, and you have to do this chemo. If you don't, you're going to be dead. And he says, no, thank you. I'm just going to trust Jesus. You know how hard that is? It's not hard at all if you really got the faith in you. We're just like Job said, Lord, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to put you first. That's what you did. And by doing that, you see the man now 7 years later after he's completely healed, he's still alive and well, and he's going to walk in divine health for many more years now because he's learned what God's requirements are. So he's just like me. He's going to do those things, right? Yeah, we're going to do those things. Everybody, anybody could come to Jesus and say, Lord, I receive your gift of pardon and mercy for my life in Jesus' name. And how many of us would he turn away?
None.
Not one single one. What an awesome privilege we have to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, to be children that know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and also know that he's a healer. Because you know how many people don't know that? The majority. I mean, I was one of them. You know, for 30-something, 35, 40 years of my life, I did not know that Jesus was a healer. Yeah, I knew I read the Bible. I knew he healed in the Word. I didn't know he healed people like this. I didn't know miracles still took place. I didn't realize I could walk over. If you'd have told me just a few years ago, Thurman, the day's coming when you're going to lay hands on a man and his wife right over here, and their name's Ida and Ferris, and you're going to pray for them, and God's going to completely restore her arm, make her completely well, I'd have said, you're crazy. You're talking about somebody else. And you were back in those days because I did not know him as that kind of a God. But boy, I do today. Isn't he awesome? Aren't you glad you serve a God that does miracles? A God that heals? Wow. Praise the Lord. Okay, healing school next Saturday. If you've got anybody, any friends anywhere that you know that's sick or afflicted or need to be healed, you send them to us next Saturday at 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We will show them what causes them to be sick. We'll show them how to get healed. And just like this last healing school, standing, I guess I was about right here when I laid hands on that little 83-year-old woman and saw the King instantly heal her right there. Jesus shows up in this little church, and I'm so glad he does. So we're going to have another one of those healing schools next Saturday. Next Sunday afternoon, we'll get further into the wisdom thing and what you can do when you get wisdom with God. We're going to show you, and I mean to tell you, there's nothing impossible with us. Just like you said, there's nothing impossible with God if you pray in faith, believing, right? Wow. You know when you're sitting there hurting and you got bit, what do you see that big old thing on his leg where he got bit with something? It was awful. You know, and you can't sleep and everything, and you take the Word of God and you stand on it and then read it for an hour, hour and a half, and all your pain goes away and Jesus healed you. Hey, God's a good God, isn't he? Yes. Father, we praise you and thank you for this gorgeous, beautiful day. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful weather you're going to give us this week. I just praise you and thank you for everything you do. I thank you that you're the King of Kings, and I thank you, Lord, that you're coming soon. I know that this is the end of the age, Lord. We're nearly there. And Lord, for the however many years we got left, but it may happen any day. So Lord, in that period of time we have left, use us for your glory. And we give you all the praise and glory because you told us to occupy till you come. So Lord, that's what we're going to do. We praise you and thank you for blessing us and watching over us, protecting us, and then using us this week as every week for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.